Isaiah 40. For, again, for 350 years before the time of Christ, at least, and for 130 years after, till 130 BC, or AD, I mean, 135 AD, these scriptures were read at Pentecost, Isaiah 40, 41, and 42. And they were read in some way to prefigure the thing that's accomplished on the day Pentecost was fulfilled in Acts, the second chapter. There's a phenomenon that you must begin to understand, that if we believe that it's finished, then when Isaiah, who wrote essentially 700 BC, spoke of these things, he looked out of time and saw the completion of Pentecost 690 years in the future. When we look at it, we look out of time and see Pentecost 2,000 years in the past, except Isaiah, the actual date of the Pentecost fulfillment, and today are all the same moment, because in eternity there's no time, and if it's finished, then we're not subject to time. And what we must be about, and what the whole idea of Pentecost is, that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, that there is no separation in time. And you have to see that you are there with Isaiah, you are there with Peter at Pentecost, you are there at all of these events. Your response to that event is also indicated in the scriptures. For most people, the response to Pentecost is the Tower of Babel. You can't communicate with anyone on the face of the earth. You can't communicate with those you say you love. You can't communicate with anyone. Everything is foreign. Everything is frustration, because you can never ever really get to know and to communicate with another person. To some, the response of Pentecost is something new here. The Spirit of God is moving over the face of the waters, so you have an anticipation. To others, the response of Pentecost is that it's a fulfillment, and the fulfillment is revealed in the book of Acts. But my point to you is that the way we get to Pentecost is not by learning more or not by waiting for something to happen. The way we get to Pentecost is the same as it's always been. And Pentecost means empowerment. The way we get to Pentecost is the same as it's always been. We repent. We turn from self. We abandon ourselves into Pentecost. Now, there's not one person that doesn't want more power, energy, more life in their life. That's what this feast is about. It's really about having life in your life. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the idea that we truly are spirit beings. It's the idea that all that matter is spirit slowed down. And now we get our minds renewed so that we're in union with that which was always. That's what Pentecost is about. For most people, Pentecost is if you're in the assemblies or charismatic churches, Pentecost is something that gives you power for more self-realization. It's another way that God, it's the idea that God is your errand boy, and how to make God a better errand boy. Well, for us, Pentecost comes as the result of the abandonment of self, and then we are led by the Spirit. But we have to be outside of ourselves. We have to remove our biases. And I mean, I believe that's the thing that can happen in this delay, that your idolatry with regard to the spirit and spiritual matters and spiritual gifts, if you will, can be destroyed between now and the time we celebrate it. And that's my prayer. Because you come into this with all kinds of biases. You know, I speak in tongues. I believe in healing. I believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit. I see them operate daily. Some of you don't. I'm never going to preach tongues. I'm never going to preach the gifts, because then you look at the gifts instead of the giver. But the gifts of the Spirit are the personality of Jesus Christ in action, and they must be operating in a body. So a lot of you have brought all kinds of biases into it. But you cannot experience the true meaning of Pentecost until you know you have lost the war. You have lost the battle. You understand me? And if you can, with that as the predicate, now let's look at what Isaiah says, okay? comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all our sins. Again, as we've said so often, you can speak comfortably, your warfare is accomplished because you've lost the war. Until you know that, religion and Christianity will just be another thing to put the name of God on your idolatry. If you know you've lost, and He lives, and you're just a broken vessel for His life, then you can speak comfortably. Amen? The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Again, that's a prophecy of Elijah, and it's always the prophecy of anyone who names the name of God. Prepare the way of the Lord for you. Make the high places low. Make the low places level. That's what it says. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The word see there doesn't mean to see with your eyes. It means to experience. All flesh has already experienced this moment. It happened on the day of Pentecost. The gospel has already been preached. It's no longer optional. Nothing spiritual is optional. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, nobody gives a holy rat's ass what you believe about something. If truth is truth, what you think about truth is immaterial. It's only up to us to get into that position and to test it with everything in us, to test it with all of time and space, so that we are fully persuaded in our own mind that nothing can come against it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? Now here you are, and the voice is saying to you, cry, and your response is, what shall I say? What shall I say? Well, I'll tell you what you say. You say that if you send $1,000, that's the secret. I've learned the secret of prosperity. If you send me $1,000,
then I'll get rich.
Then I'll get rich.
Then I'll get 100.
you lay your hand on the screen, that's all. It's a point of contact. This is Bible.
It's not what I say.
Cry. What shall I say? All flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, and surely the people is grass. Now people get upset at me when I call, you know, when I call you sperm, when I call the human race God's sperm cells, at least the sperm cell has a potential for something. God called, Isaiah calls you grass.
Mow it.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, what is the word of God? And I want you to I want you to understand what it means, not to just repeat it because I said it. The word of God isn't this little book. This little book is words about the word. The word of God is the seed of God, the seed of Christ, which is in you, which is your life. And that what proceedeth from God will return to God. O Zion, who's Zion? But what does it mean? What does it say? It says, they that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. And the city of Jerusalem is the Mount Zion. So Jerusalem is the metaphor, the parable, the trope. We learned, Stealth learned a new word last night, but they didn't.
What is it?
It's a trope.
Trope.
T-R-O-P-E.
What does it mean?
Type, parable. The trope.
Who came up with it?
Huh?
Did you come up with it?
The toupee. Did I come up with it? Well, I mean, I didn't.
Who introduced it into the discussion?
I did. I said it was about, we were talking about.
We had a rabbi pun and nobody got it.
Nobody got it. Not one person.
Jonathan Rutledge?
Or Doug,
the
wordsmiths.
They must be the word Joneses now.
O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold. Now again, they're reading this as the Feast of Pentecost is taking place. As the tongues of fire are, I mean, this is all the readings that were going into the temple at the time of Pentecost. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. I can't tell you enough about what it means for your work to be before you, instead of the work after you. Okay, anyway.
No, tell me again.
Do that again.
That's the following deal you were talking about. The works
follow
you.
His work is before him, right? It's predicted. Our works follow. If we let our works lead, then we are becoming as gods. We define for ourselves what our plan, what our work is. Instead of being in the position of being, and his work will follow us, instead of our work leading us by the nose. Okay?
It's a belief that there's a new work.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, spiritually, if you remember what it means if there's a lamb present, if you see a sheep?
Safety.
Now, we're going to start talking about, or Isaiah is going to start talking about now, of the things that are necessary to have understood before you can understand what he's just said. And it's to understand the majesty of God is to understand, you have to first understand the futility of man. And that's what this whole next section is about, the stupidity of our exercises. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balances? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Now, again, nobody's going to say, well, I'm going to show God. You mean you're not dumb enough to say that. But what you are, when you take your life in your hand and predict tomorrow's activities, you then are becoming the counselor of God. And God hates attorneys. You understand what I'm saying? That's why God said in Christ, the evidence that you're following him is that you abandon yourself. You take no thought for your life. You take no thought for tomorrow. You take no thought for the food you're going to eat. Take no thought for the clothes you're going to put on. And in that abandonment, he lives. So who hath been his counselor? Okay. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Now, the small dust of the balance, it's of the scale, it's after you've done all your weights and measures and all the commerce, and there's some dust left in the scale. That's what he calls all of the nations of the world. All the powers of the world are as the dust that's left after you've... Oh, but God is blessing America. No, he's not. Not blessing America anymore, and he's blessing Ethiopia. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. In other words, the whole nation isn't sufficient to make an offering.
Wow.
Okay? You understand that? That's what it means to burn. Nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. Now, you know what? You know what? Everybody knows this when they're a teenager. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I assume it to be true.
You know it. You know it's crap. If it ain't 2,000 years old, it's crap.
It's crap.
Or just grass.
I mean, you know it. You know what I mean? I mean, I can remember knowing this.
Bullshit.
This is just crazy. This is terrible stuff. This is a joke. I mean, I can remember, you know, when I didn't finish college, for those of you who don't know, because I could remember thinking, you know, we had some idiot back thinking up what the requirements for a college degree were, and then you get the other idiots accepted, and then you pass it on to generation after generation, and all of a sudden, it's a thing. I mean, I knew that it was bullshit. I mean, when I was much younger than that, I mean, it was just the... Okay, everybody, let's... For Easter sunrise service, we're going to go, all the little dudes, and we're going to go ride out in there.
That.
You know. If God was that dumb, I didn't want any part of him. And so what I did for all those years was I decided I didn't want any part of him.
Is that when you burned the...
cross.
Yeah.
I burned a dude at the cross.
You were young.
Huh?
You were young still so then.
I was very young.
Six?
No.
Six.
You wasn't that young.
No, I was...
You did something.
You got away from
it. I was 17.
Oh, well, 17 when you were
younger. Remember, he communicated when he was six.
He joined the CIA when he was
sick. Oh, just shut up.
So we burned him across.
Didn't you know when you were a teenager that all this was bullshit?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And didn't you sell out?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's getting to go join him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you remember, I mean, you know you sold out. You sold something precious happened. Mm-hmm. Something at the core happened. And it's a grand, great miracle when you can see that that happened and you can return to the place as the child. You can get rid of all of the sellouts because of him, because of he who you contain. I mean, all nations are as nothing. All value systems are as nothing. All belief systems are as nothing. Anyway, but again, do you understand that the understanding of this is the predicate to speak comfortably? I mean, God isn't going to share his glory. Well, then who's doing all this stuff? Well, it's the God of this world. All nations are before him as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains to make the idol. Now, again, okay, we think, oh, that's back then, because what did they do? They did this, and they cast an idol, and they put silver chains on it, and that's what they worshipped. But that's exactly what you do in your mind. You decide what will bring you redemption or glory, and those become the gold and the silver that manifest the images that you've created in your mind. And they're just as evil. They're more evil because they're more subtle than standing there and worshiping those stupid things that, you know, like a golden totem pole. Then if you're so impoverished that he hath no oblation, he choose a tree that will not rot, and he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. That's for you, that all of you that have really stupid idols. They're made of wood. They're not even gold or silver. They're just little wood things. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. The word grasshopper there is the word that means the third stage of a locust out of the four stages. Okay?
What are the others?
Worm.
Had to ask.
Old owl worm.
Palmer worm.
Worm or palmer or cankerworm are the same word. Grasshopper and then locust. Four of those words that are translated those things come from words in the Hebrew, which mean the four stages of a locust. But here he's called now. So now he's called us either grasshopper's bad enough, but locust is like
moving up on the food chain.
But now he's called you grass. Now grasshopper.
So in essence, you feed on each other.
You hop on each other. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. It's interesting that, again, when I saw that, you know, I remember the first time I read it, I started thinking about, well, how could people think the world was flat when the Bible said it's he that sits on the circle of the earth?
They thought it was a circle.
That's not what it means.
LB.
It's a word that means sphere.
It's not Psalms that says that too.
And then I read, I saw it about 10 different places in the Bible where it says the earth is round.
On that Old Testament show that was on primetime, they talked about a lot of things like that. scientific principles that we now know today spoken of that the Jews knew.
It's
certain things about the stars.
When you read the Talmud or the Zohar, it's blows your mind what what these ancients knew. I mean, you know, it makes us look, literally, it makes us look like idiots. We start thinking to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you spoke 70 languages. That you memorized the book of Proverbs before you were 7 years old. That you memorized the book of Leviticus before you were 12. And knew what it meant and could argue each point. I mean, anyway. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Now, I knew that. You guys knew that. We all knew that. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Again, in the New Testament, there's this great scripture that I think we find. But it essentially says, where eagles are, there the body is. And it's this idea that if, remember I said if there's a sheep, the metaphor, if there's a sheep in the land, it means it's safe. If there is an eagle in the region, it means there are no serpents. Anyway.
I've seen two things in the last day. This thing about people are grass and the beauty, the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. I've seen two things in the last 24 hours. One was a thing about Marlene Dietrich, who in my opinion was one of the most beautiful women in the last long time. And she just died, and it was a thing about how she had written what it would be like when she died and how people all over the world would be sighing and crying for her. And she said that that meant nothing to her because the only sighing she cared about was the sighing of the one who watched over her. And then a few hours after that, I saw a thing about Lana Turner, who, in my opinion, is one of the most beautiful women we've had around in a long time. And she just had diagnosed with cancer in her throat. And her reaction to it was that she was not worried about it because what she said was, my beloved God will carry me through whatever it is that I'm going through. And for some reason, it really affected me that those two women who, you know, 30, 40 years ago were considered, like, if they walked into a room, everybody. And now, you know, little old raggedy old ladies, but they seem to know what mattered.
Know something. Go to Luke 17 a minute.
Luke 17?
Mm-hmm. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And this is talking about two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left, etc. And they answered him and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Whereso the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
buzzards.
Vultures.
Missed it by that much.
So like the F troop of Christianity.
Isaiah 41, please. We just read it.
Back to the holy word.
We only need the one.
Oh, I know we did.
Get to Winchester.
I just didn't know we did.
Keep silence before me, O islands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near together in judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote with the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Now, do you understand what they're talking about in the first seven verses? They're talking about the conspiratorial aspects of idol worship.
I got lost in two when he says, I gave them as the dust of the sword and as driven stubble to his bow.
Well, that's what he's talking. He's talking about all the things. Who hath done it, calling the first? And then he says, so the carpenter, it's the idea that, do you understand, we've talked about this before, but do you understand that language is a conspiratorial alliance? That we've come to, and made an agreement that this series of grunts and groans and the little marks in a page, by conspiracy, we've agreed that they mean things or something, but they're not real. Do you understand that? But you don't think about it. And so you start to worship the fruit of the conspiracy. Can you hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what this is about. It said that the nations, the people, entered into a conspiracy to have an agreement about what things were to be worshipped, were to be given importance. But then he says, but that's not true with Israel. Is that communicating? Okay, so what Israel has to do, we have to be as Israel in the world when the plagues came and caused us to see that we would stop worshiping the same idolatry that the world did. We'd stop. We don't fear what they fear. We don't give importance to what they give importance to. All right, let's continue. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, when in Hebrew we miss it, in English we miss it, from the Hebrew when it uses these, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed at anything, for I am thy God. I alone will strengthen thee, I alone will help thee, yea, I alone will uphold thee. I mean, it's like, we miss something in English. There's too many adjectives. There's too many descriptive. And so we miss the simplicity of the Hebrew, in which the sentence means, I alone will help you if you have no help. I alone will do this if you don't try to do it by some other means. because I am a jealous God. I won't share my glory with your efforts. That's why weakness is the mystery. That's why the emptying of self is the whole aspect of what Christianity is about, not the gaining of something. Okay? Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. This is the worm, the other. Now why is, what's the mystery about the worm, Jacob? What?
Israel?
Because out of Jacob came Israel, and Israel is the mystery.
Yeah.
Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Now, it's not talking about the mountains out there in the Himalayas, it's talking about the high places. Can you hear that?
Still the that really evokes the violence
it
takes to thresh the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With a very must be a very sharp instrument with teeth,
you know? Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. Whenever you see the whirlwind in the scripture, it always is a word that means the threshing wind, the threshing floor wind. It's when the whirlwinds in the scripture, they're always talking about the end. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory only in the Holy One of Israel.
Would you tell me again what you said about whirlwind?
The word whirlwind is a better translation of it would be threshing wind. Remember, it scatters the chaff. When the wheat is harvested, the last thing that happens is they take after the cattle have walked on the stalks and everything, then the last thing they do is they take pitchforks and throw the seed up in the air. And the wind, the threshing floor wind, and there's always a wind in the harvest season rushes in and blows away the chaff. And they keep doing that over and over until all the chaff is gone. And that's spiritually what happens in us. I mean, it happens in us with idolatry as individuals, but it also happens with us as individuals if we're not here for the right purpose. You'll come here for 1,000 reasons. You'll stay for only one. Okay. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah, the myrtle and the oil tree, and I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Now, that's one area that we haven't studied, as even in stealth we haven't studied, the trees. The different new year for trees, and how each of the trees represent a different manifestation or a different office of the body of Christ. And so we'll get into that later.
Is the shoot of the tree that they used
for the cross?
Isn't that also for the Ark?
Hmm? Yeah, no, the Acacia.
I looked up and it said the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing.
Yeah. Acacia. Okay.
You talking about the Ark or the Ark?
What?
Ark?
The Ark of the Covenant was made with acacia or shittah.
The boat's made from gopher wood.
The boat was made from gopher wood.
Yeah.
Gopher bark.
I meant the
Ark of the Covenant instead of the Ark of the... Well, acacia and shittah are the same. And the crown of thorns was made from it.
Wow.
It's all a trope.
It's all related to gold.
What?
It's all a trope.
Bad tube. But they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Now, again, this is the thing that gets me. I mean, this is why, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. That's why it's so important that's for centuries, a synagogue and the church, the original church, was a place of debate where the strong cause was brought against, so that everything was open to debate and to public expression, so that everything withstood the test. I mean, you see, now it's just the opposite. It's a place where you go and say, well, you just have to accept that by faith, by blind faith. Yeah. It's totally different than what, I mean, it's not just different, it's opposite from. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, and what that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare us the things for to come. Show the things that are to come there hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yea, or you are as gods. I mean, the idea that you're judging for yourself. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Don't do your little trips in your mind and your little arguing in silence in your mind. Don't have your little plans over in here in your closets. Produce your cause. Behold, you are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. That's why you can't. I mean, yeah. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon the princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them could answer a word, behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. So much for mankind. Now, the contrast. And this is why these readings are read on the Feast of Pentecost, when this seed, this Holy One, the Christ in you, the hope of glory, is shed on all flesh. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. You understand what that means?
He's not going to go door to door.
He's not going to promote himself. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. What does that mean?
It really has nothing whatsoever to do with stuff in time and space.
He has no, He could care. I mean, it's what it, the things that are happening in time and space are meaningless. It's like when we study Hanukkah, you cannot use the Hanukkah candle for anything. If you use it, you can't use it to light another candle, you can't use it to read by, you can't use it to keep warm by, you can't use it to cook, you can't use it to light the stove, to cook something else. The Hanukkah, the light, is its own dynamic. Can you see how sick it is when you make God an errand boy for some stupid little plan that man has? He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. That's what he did on Pentecost. If Pentecost hadn't happened, and if you don't understand Pentecost and apprehend it, then Jesus Christ or any God that you want to do is just some other standard you can't meet. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And he's not talking about the crooks that are in the Dallas County Jail. That's not a prison ministry. It's the prison of your own mind, the prison of your own idolatry.
The prison of our own vanity.
And your own vanity. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, the new things do I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Now sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, and the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise to the in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, he shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar, he shall prevail against his enemies. This one, the next one, gets every time I hear it, it gives me, every time I think about hearing it, it gives me goosebumps. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up their herbs. I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Who are the blind? The blind are those that don't judge by the seeing of their eyes. We don't care what the seeing of the eyes, the hearing of their ear, or the senses declare. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed. The trust in graven images. What is a graven image? A graven image is that the wall of your mind, that image, that thing that you're convinced is right. Let's say to the molten images, you are our gods. The molten images are the ones that are your emotions. So that you say to your emotions, well, this is what I feel. Graven images are your intellect. Molten images are your emotions. Hear ye deaf. They're not making judgments after the sounds. And look you blind, that you may see. Who is blind? but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent, who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant. Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he hearest not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. That's what certain people are doing. They're taking the people and making them the spoil and the prey, and none has said, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law? Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of the battle, and it has set him on fire round about, and he knew not. And it burned him, and yet he laid it to heart. He laid it not to heart. That's what, again, if we could see without seeing, we would see the world's on fire. The value systems of the world are gone. Everything in the world is gone. And some we have compassion, hating, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh.
But you what?
You don't give importance to it. You don't fear what they fear. You don't believe what they believe. You don't see what they see. You don't hear what they hear. You don't walk like they walk. That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore.